The text is the gospel reading, the parable of the Good Samaritan. What does God want done? Our 1,300-year-old collect focuses on that. We prayed that we may cheerfully accomplish whatever things the Almighty and Most Merciful God wants done. Well, God's clear in our text what he wants done. Do this and you will live. That's what he says to the religious lawyer. The doing that the Almighty, Most Merciful God wants done is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Go home and read a dozen sermons on this text. In 11 out of 12, this doing is going to be the gospel. This doing will be what the text is all about. You're the priest or the Levite. If you pass by the guy on the corner with the sign on the corner, you're the priest or the Levite. You're the Good Samaritan when you give him a dollar. I'm going to leave the bar of the law this low for right now. But even so, will you every day clear that bar? On an average day, I pass six or more people on the corner looking for handouts. Every day, with everyone, will I be the Good Samaritan with the cash, or will I be the priest and the Levite with the window rolled up? So even if this text is what the majority of churches teach and most people believe, I'm not to pass by anyone at any time in need, does this teaching leave you with cheerfulness to accomplish anything? But this is the answer that Jesus leaves you with if, and this is a huge if you're like the Jewish lawyer. Did you hear how he was described in the opening sentences? He stood up to Jesus. Now, don't think that merely states a physical posture. Well, it can refer to that. But in situations of confrontation, like when Jesus visited his hometown, that word is used to describe how the people rose up in hopes of killing him by driving him off a cliff. The word can also refer to resisting Jesus' teaching. And grammatically, that's the main thing the lawyer was doing here. He resisted, he opposed, he stood up to Jesus' teaching right before this, that God had hidden his gospel from the wise and understanding and revealed it to babes, and that only God the Son could reveal God the Father. Opposing these teachings led the lawyer to test or tempt Jesus. The word the insert translates test, well, can equally be translated tempt. It's the same word. In either case, it's an emphatic form. The lawyer meant to thoroughly tempt or test Jesus when he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, if you're a tester or a tempter of God, as he is revealed in Jesus, well, then the answer to what God wants you to do is do the commandments and you will live. Off you go now. Get on with it. And notice at this point in the text, we're not even to the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan yet. We're just to the bald-faced, open-ended commandments to love God with your whole heart and your neighbor as yourself. If you are a resister of the gospel, and so a tempter and tester of God Almighty, leave here knowing God requires your complete love of him and everything in your life before, and everyone in your life before you can ever go to heaven. But Jesus doesn't stop there. That's because the lawyer doesn't stop opposing or tempting him. Just who is my neighbor? The lawyer asked, as if the loving thing was easy as long as you knew who you were to love. And again, the Almighty and Most Merciful God is clear what he wants done. Go and do likewise, he says. Be State Farm. Be a good neighbor for everyone in need. Cheerfully go into a dangerous situation, for that's what it was in the parable. While you are traveling in a strange place, not when you're commuting back and forth to work like the priest and Levite were, while you are traveling, stop to help the half-dead, totally naked man at that vacant rest stop. Care for him through the long night, putting his bloody wreck of a body on your leather seats. Then drive him to a motel, leaving the manager enough money to pay for 2 months' worth of food and lodging, and then leave your credit card as a guarantee for whatever else that total stranger needs. As for that dollar, that $5, that $20 you give to the homeless guy at Christmas, God laughs in your face if you think you've done as the Good Samaritan did. You think you are going and doing like the Good Samaritan did when you drop a can in the food bank bin or give to the charity of your choice at work. Ha! The only way you're going to do what the Good Samaritan did and pay for 2 months' worth of food and lodging for a stranger at a motel is if your credit card gets stolen. But this is the answer God leaves you with. If you want to, and this is another big if you are like the lawyer who resists and tempts the gospel, and then in the face of the sharpest law, you seek to justify yourself. Read the insert. That's what the text says the lawyer does in response to Jesus preaching the law. Quote, but he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Every time you make a promise to do better keeping God's law, every time you make an excuse for why you broke one of his laws, you are seeking to justify yourself, and God demands that you go and do what the Samaritan did. However, if you're not opposing the gospel for babes and fools, if you're not tempting God Almighty with your wit and wisdom, if you're not trying to justify yourself, God wants you to do something else. Nothing. He wants you to be the man who does absolutely nothing in this text. Not the priest who has an excuse for why he turned away from that beaten man. If the man had been dead, the priest would have lost his share of the temple food for him and his family by making himself unclean. Jesus wants you to be the man who does nothing, not the Levite who says, well, at least I went up to where the poor man was lying. And Jesus certainly doesn't want you to be the Samaritan who does everything, because that's him. The only choice hearers of this text have of who they can be in it are the beaten man, the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan. Under the law, the priest and the Levite, well, they can't cheerfully accomplish anything but to abandon a man to his wounds. And the Samaritan does what no human being could ever do. The only person, therefore, for you to be in this text is the man who did nothing but to go down from Jerusalem and fall into the hands of robbers. See that you have fallen into the hands of robbers who have stripped you of your salvation, robbed you of your peace of mind, and stolen your cheerfulness. Do you think God sent his only beloved Son into the world to redeem it from damnation so you could worry day in and day out about your salvation? Do you think God loaded the sins of the world upon the conscience of his sinless Son so your mind could be troubled by sins that won't let you rest? Do you think God the Father had his Son beaten into hopeless damnation and death to sentence you to the life of despairing Eeyore? How many of us spend our Christian lives stripped of all the glories and joys of faith and half dead to all its promises of forgiveness, life, and salvation? We look hopefully to the law passing by, thinking, maybe if I tried harder, loved more, believed more, gave more, I would feel better. We hear the priests and the Levites of the world championing the law, telling us all God is doing for them and all they are doing for others. And we see, well, that they're more cheerful than we are and conclude, well, we don't have enough law. No, according to the text, the only one who does not have enough law is the one who resists the simple gospel, seeks to tempt God's promises, and wishes to justify himself. No, don't get up from where you lie. Don't try to restore the tattered shreds of your hope, joy, or forgiveness by your efforts. The only one the Good Samaritan rescues is the naked, good as dead man. And that Good Samaritan is no one else but Christ. That is the consistent teaching of the earliest centuries of the Christian church, and of the latter centuries too. St. Ambrose, circa 400, says, "Who is the Good Samaritan except he who descended from heaven?" And that's the consistent teaching of Luther as well. Therefore, he, Jesus, also calls himself alone our neighbor in the parable of the Samaritan. Jesus' enemies called him a Samaritan in John 8:14. Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan? And the phrase that says the Samaritan took pity is that one Greek word used in the Gospels for Jesus only. 9 times specifically of Jesus, and 3 times it's used of the Jesus figure in a parable. In Matthew 18, of the forgiving king. In Luke 15, of the father of the prodigal son. And here, of the good Samaritan. What does the Almighty and most merciful God want you to cheerfully accomplish today? Lie there and have the good Samaritan pity you and bind up your wounds. Jesus paid a frightful price in order to be able to do this for you. He lived a perfect life in an imperfect world. When sin, death, and the devil tempted him every day and wearied him every night, Jesus remained sinless in a flesh and blood that is no different, no more powerful, no more healthy than yours. And then on a battered, bloodied body, he carried to the cross your sins that shred your joy and tear open deep gashes of guilt. And he paid for those sins on that cross. And finally, he rose in a glorified body that could not be chased by sins that were paid for, could not be chased by a death that had been died already, could not be chased by a devil who had lost the teeth of the law against sinners. Yes, this is the truth of this text that has been lost by many. Jesus is the good Samaritan, you're the good as dead man, and the inn Jesus carries you to is his church. Here in the church, baptism, absolution, and communion bind up your wounds by applying Christ and his forgiveness to them. The sacraments have often been called bandages for the wounds of the soul. Healed people, whole people, forgiven people, cheerfully accomplish whatever God wants done. That's the difference between us and the Reform. The Reform believe forgiven people still need to be goaded into good works. Hence, they preach this parable, go and do as the Good Samaritan did. For Lutherans, as naturally as a healed, healthy tree bears fruit, so do people. So true Lutherans preach, stay and have the Samaritan do unto you. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.